Good evening, councillors, council staff, members of the gallery. Thank you for your attendance this morning. I will ask everyone to be upstanding for the council prayer. I declare the meeting opened at 6 p.m. on the dot. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I also, please be seated. I'd like to acknowledge the Wangal people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, and I pay my respects to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. Just before I get into the speakers, we've got no apologies, and I know Councillor Hugo is actually online, so he's asked for leave to be approved to participate via Zoom because he's interstate. That's been moved by Councillor Cutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Can I ask for the speakers? I'll start calling you forward. So to speak on the items, and I'll just read the guidelines for speaking. So there's a time limit of 3 minutes per speaker. I'll remind speakers that discussion, debate or questions involving councillors or staff is not permitted. The subject matter only is to be discussed. Personalities are not to be addressed. And you can't speak more than twice on two items on the business of agenda. The first person I'd like to call up to speak is Cecily Gray. Welcome, Cecily, who's speaking on a mayoral motion with regards to the proposed LGA boundary adjustment, which is Croydon Build Inner West Boundary, the PLC mayoral minute. Welcome, Cecily. We've got a number of speakers tonight, so I'm going to adhere strictly to the 3 minutes if I can. We're just going to go into the formal part of the meeting now, and we'll run through the agenda. I just remind councillors of their statement of ethical obligations and reminded of their oath of affirmation of office under section 223A of the Local Government Act 1993 and your obligations under council's code of conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. I note the recording of the meeting. Please note that meetings of council and council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of meeting minutes and promoting public transparency, and they are promptly made available for review via the council website. I note there are no apologies or leave of absence sought. Declarations of interest by councillors. I'll declare an interest in NM2/24 as I own a property at the Strand, Croydon. As in previous meetings, I will be disclosing a pecuniary conflict of interest in relation to the Todd Sepp matter as I own a business at the Strand. As previously stated, I was advised that in my capacity as Mayor of Build, I could still be involved in advocacy and in community representation. As such, I am tabling a mayoral minute tonight to summarise the ongoing advocacy work undertaken by Council and to call for further clarification on some important points that are of concern to our community. However, in relation to the notice of motion, because it calls for specific actions, I will be vacating the meeting and I'll ask the Deputy Mayor to take the chair. Is there any other declarations? Okay, that's dealt with. Declarations of political donations. I note there are no declarations of political donations. Confirmation of the minutes of the meeting on the 13th of Feb 2024, moved by Councillor Manor.
Just a slight amendment.
Yes. There is, I've noticed on item 102/20.
So it was the item relating to the item NM4/23, New South Wales Government Vision, have a major impact on Croydon, the Melbourne Hill Estate and surroundings. Now you vacated the chair I took over, so it says that you voted on that. So it just needs amending.
That's been moved with that amendment, seconded by Councillor Cutcher. Put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. I'll get into the Merrill minute for the Heritage Transport Orientated Development, Todd, Croydon Precinct. Sorry for the late issue of the Merrill minute. It's because we had a meeting on Thursday, which I'll give you an update on. So we wanted to take into account some of the discussions that were had in at that meeting with the minister. The New South Wales Government's Transport Orientated Development Program was released in December 2023 and proposes to fast-track the rezoning of land within 400 metres of Croydon Railway Station to allow for six-storey residential flat buildings. It is a state government initiative established in response to federal housing accord and need for housing supply. As we all know, our council was not involved in the selection of Croydon as a Tier 2 location under the proposed TODCEP. And since December, we have been working tirelessly to understand the intent of the proposed changes, to engage with our community and to make a submission and representation on behalf of our residents. Following the initial notice of motion, which was endorsed by council on the 12th of December, 2023, we were able to achieve a meeting with the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces on the 19th of Feb. We sent letters to the Premier of New South Wales, created an information section on our website, ran a petition between December and January that collected close to 800 signatures. We lodged an interim submission followed by a report to council on the 13th of February, and then a lodgement of a formal submission. We invited department representatives to brief our councillors on the 22nd of February, and our staff have also met with senior department representatives on 1 March and continue to liaise with the department at all available levels. On Thursday last week, I met with the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces. Do you not have one, Councillor Cutcher? No. The Honourable Paul Scully again. Together with our state member and council's general manager, the director of city strategy and manager for city planning. Together, we reiterated Burwood Council's positive track record in working with our community, our historical strategic planning position of concentrating density in our town centre, and our willingness to work with the state government to achieve a pragmatic solution to the housing plans. I have personally been engaging with community on this matter since December, and I think I can confidently say that while our residents have shown a great degree of maturity in discussing the housing crisis currently being experienced in Sydney, they have concerns around the process followed by the New South Wales government in announcing planning changes without consultation around the protection, not just of our Croydon suburb, but also the Melvyn Hill Estate Heritage Conservation Area. Council is dedicated to safeguarding the character of Croydon and the Melvyn Hill Estate. And I would like to commend the work of council staff in commencing a planning analysis with the aim of identifying alternate planning options to that proposed under the TODCEP for the Croydon precinct, so as to achieve the protection of the conservation area. Nevertheless, following my ongoing conversations with residents, I feel it is important to explore two areas in more detail. We should confirm the legal slash planning framework under which the New South Wales government would be able to implement TODCEP changes, overriding the council's local planning framework. We should be able to investigate which options might be available to council and our residents to enhance protection and conservation areas such as the Melvyn Hill Estate. I therefore move that A, that council confirms its continued objection to the Croydon TODCEP. B, the general manager via Southern Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils, of which our council is a member, and local government New South Wales, seek confirmation of the legal slash planning framework under the New South Wales government, under which the New South Wales government would be able to implement TODCEP changes, overriding council's local planning framework, and report the information back to council. C, the general manager seeks clarification on whether SEP provisions as outlined would override heritage controls. D, the general manager investigates available options to best engage with the community in the Croydon area, and in particular residents and owners of properties in the Malvern Hill Estate Conservation Area, to gauge interest in possible detailed heritage studies for increased heritage measures and report information back to council. And E, the mayor and staff continue to notify and consult with the community on the Croydon Todd SEP. Do I have any questions? Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I ask, given your recent meeting with Minister Scully, when do you expect the government will make a decision?
I put that question directly to the minister, and the response I received that April is a very long, well, it's not a long, but April has more than one day, and I don't believe, from what I sensed, and I think the general manager can clarify, who was also at the meeting, that there won't be an automatic automation on 1 April. Councillor Manor.
Again, when you met with the minister at your last meeting, how was that received generally?
Can I say I've met with the minister now three times? Our first meeting was quite tense. Our last meeting was pretty positive. It was really positive. It gave me and the staff confidence that we gave us confidence. We have to go through a process with the department now, and I know our staff were on a call with the department last night. I believe a letter will be lodged based on our submission seeking an extension, which will allow the protection of predominantly Croydon as the character that it is. There are other planning options available for housing to provide that balance. And I think I've spoken about that to with the community. I believe I've spoken about that at council and council meetings. And more recently, when we actually all met as councillors, we met with the department and the deputy secretary. We spoke about council's commitment to fight to protect Croydon the way it is. It may involve some changes. Do I know what those changes are to date? No, because I haven't been a part of that planning process. But I believe there will be opportunities for councils to seek an extension so we're not forced by the April deadline. What that will mean and look like is alternative housing targets which could be achieved possibly in and around the town centre, which is what we're predominantly doing now, especially around Burwood North, which council is finalising in the finalisation process. And there might be some slight changes in Croydon. I haven't seen that, but I think it's nothing of the scale of what's proposed and maybe nothing in the areas that have been sought after. So the bubble that we've been told, I'll call it a bubble. From my understanding, it's been referred to now as it could be fluid and it doesn't have to affect areas like the Malvern Hill or other conservation areas in Croydon. So in saying that, I'm pretty confident that we're going to not just land in a great place, but we're going to have the opportunity to save Croydon the way it is, and we'll focus on balancing and working with the government and the department on the housing crisis through other means. We don't need to destroy Croydon to do that, and that's been our constant message with the department and the minister. Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I just say three things? Firstly, I note... All right, well, question. In respect of the meeting with the minister, why were other councillors not invited to the meeting? And will councillors be invited to future meetings? You'll note that I do call upon that in my motion, which I'll be addressing under my name in due course. But I would have thought it was fair and reasonable to invite representatives of the ratepayers who may happen to represent other political parties to these important meetings and briefings with the minister?
Thanks, Councillor Hull. I don't believe it's common practice. Council makes a resolution. The mayor is, I guess, the carrier of that message to government. Saying that, do I object to inviting councillors? No, but I don't think you'll get there. It's hard enough getting a meeting with the minister and taking professional staff with us. So you had the opportunity recently at a department briefing. You didn't ask a question. So you had that opportunity. Every councillor had that opportunity. If you want a meeting with the minister, I'm sure you can reach out to him directly. But I'm here to represent the views of the council and the majority decision that's been undertaken. So I can't invite you to a meeting that I've been called to by the minister. It's not for me to do that. Any other questions, Councillor Cutchin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for the summary of the advocacy that's taken place so far. My question relates to the primary focus of the advocacy today. It seems to be around the heritage, the protection and the preservation of heritage. Have there been discussions around some of the other concerns that have been raised? And I'm thinking in particular around the north side of the Croydon precinct, the north side of the station, where this 3-to-1 floor space ratio with a 6-story height limit is going to produce some potentially really bad planning outcomes at the street level. And I just wonder if those concerns have been raised on behalf of Croydon residents to the minister through your meetings with them.
Thanks, Councillor Cutchin. Yes, they have. I can't say that I've seen detailed planning work. So when we were in a meeting with the minister last Thursday, when our staff got into detailed planning ideas, so nothing's concrete, it's ideas, I left the room. So I wasn't present myself and the state member. In saying that, what council is focusing on now is switching off the 1 April date that takes effect, which I think we will be good, so I can put our residents at ease. I'm hoping we will hear something within a week, no more than two. I think there should be an announcement. So that's the first stage. The second stage will then involve department support, possibly funding, for a process for our staff then to actually go out and work with our community and start running some community consultation workshops. Ideas, speaking to the community of the type of housing and scale they could possibly see in Croydon. Now, when if you break down some figures that were put about, and I can't recall where these figures, I think it might have been Mr. Johnson or Sherry that raised at the forum where it might mean 4,500 dwellings, correct me if I'm wrong, that might be earmarked for Croydon. I don't believe the department, from what I'm hearing and understanding, there's no targeted number of dwellings to that level. There could be increased dwelling numbers in Burwood North, as well as possibly in and around the Burwood Town Centre. There might be some other housing options in and around Croydon in some areas, I'm not sure, which might look like terraces or townhouse type development. Again, I'm not sure, I'm just throwing up sort of what could possibly happen. In saying that, I don't believe, I think we will then have that opportunity to go through a process with the community and see what they would like. The alternative, and I think this is very important, I think council from day one, like I believe strongly from day one, council's always had the intent to provide density and housing choice through the Burwood Town Centre. In saying that, the Burwood community is made up of 6 suburbs, being Croydon, Croydon Park, Burwood Heights, Burwood, Enfield and Stratfield. It's been a long-held policy decision by this council to concentrate our housing targets. And I think I spoke about this at the forum at the time, is I remember back when Premier Carr introduced some housing targets. We sat with the minister at the time, and I think we then finished up with Minister Sartor, who was the planning minister, where we took an active decision to have development in and around the Burwood Town Centre with taller towers to fit that housing target so we can protect our suburbs. So it has been a bit of a kick in the guts for us when we heard about the announcement of Todd. In saying that, though, I think our meetings and the continued advocacy that I've had with the minister and his staff and the department and the meetings we've been having, we feel that we're confident we have convinced them of the strategy to continue along that line, and that we could help with housing targets, but the help shouldn't all fall on Burwood Council alone and our community, but we can do our bit as we have been doing, and we shouldn't be punished for that. And I believe they are listening to that. I believe they are listening, and I believe, and I'm confident we'll get a good outcome on that. So we have been advocating about that. We don't want to see the scale of development in the Burwood Town Centre, or six stories, or if it ends up at 10 or whatever they're trying to work out the department, in and around parts of Croydon. I was actually able to explain to the minister, and I explained, I think you were at that meeting too, Councillor Kutcher, when the department came here, and we had the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Planning at Council, that we've already got a triangle in Croydon, which has been zoned since 1979, which allows, I think, for 8 or 10 storey, 3-to-1 anyway. So that area, and there's a large parcel of public housing that's already there that the government could look at redeveloping, which is probably 40 or 30 years old. So they're the type of things that they'll look at, but I think predominantly our goal and our vision is to protect the character of Croydon. Councillor Hesber.
Mr. Mayor, what's some of the feedback you've been receiving from our residents?
Our residents, the feedback is pretty much what you've been hearing. I've had discussions of rang residents that have come to my street stalls, so I've rang them back to keep them briefed on some of the meetings. So with my meetings with the minister, I just like to declare that they're open and transparent. There's many staff members there. There's departments that are there. So we're not trying to exclude anybody. I just think when you get 10 people in a room or a dozen people in a minister's room, it's a bit hard to have 7 voices trying to convince the minister of an outcome. And I think it's just common practice. I've been on council for over 20 years now, so I don't think that's going to change with dealing with government. So I am always happy and open to provide feedback to councillors. I think only last week I was talking to Councillor Kutcher, who I think rang me or I rang him about an issue, and we're giving a briefing on this, as I've given other councillors that reach out to me. I've got no problem with that. In saying that, the feedback I've had from residents, I think many residents, especially in Croydon, with the feedback I've had here, the debate's been very mature, open, and quite respectful. I think many of the residents in our community understand there's a need for housing. They understand we have a housing crisis, but I think and I strongly believe they have the belief that we have, that we don't need to destroy suburbs like Croydon to achieve that housing by making haste decisions, like planning decisions. Like, I don't think any sort of knee-jerk reaction or planning decisions have ever provided good housing outcomes. So they've been supportive of doing their bit, but not at the destruction of our Croydon suburb and Croydon community. And can I just say, residents from Croydon Park and Enfield have reached out on this issue as well. So it's not just residents of Croydon. Any other questions? Councillor Cutchin.
So I'm not sure if this is a question or if this is something I should raise when we move into speaking, but I just wonder whether or not an amendment to the minute. Something that sort of follows the same vein as point C, that just covers off on that question of, the opportunity to negotiate around that, the floor space ratio and height limits, whether or not we could ask the GM to seek some clarification on that question as well.
I could probably answer that. I don't believe the height limits and floor space are fixed. So while it's a fluid bubble, I think it's a fluid planning outcome. I mean, I can only give you advice based on what I've received. And correct me, Tommaso, is that what you understood? And Ryan, is that what you understood? I mean, you've been dealing more with it than I have. So it's no fixed 6 stories, 3-to-1.
I'm hearing that you're saying no to the possibility of amending the...
I'll explain why. I'll speak to it and I'll explain why. I think we're in... And I know there's another notice of motion. I'm not going to get into that. I don't think... While the government's gone out and had a knee-jerk reaction on planning, I can understand the community is anxious and there's some anxiety around this issue. I think we're going to get into a process where the community will be involved and April's not going to be a D-Day. So in saying that, unless we're being bluffed, but we've got to go through a process with the department. And I think so far our response to what we've been putting in has been positive. Can I comment on, and the reason why I'm looking at, I don't believe SEPs, I see my experience, I don't believe spending an enormous amount of legal community residential funds on getting legal advice. And that's what I've said here. So let's seek some clarification. We're part of SS Rock. I'm president. I mean, you're aware I'm president of SS Rock, which is 12 councils. Which, if we are going to get advice, it should be paid for by all the councils, not just Burwood, because it affects all the other councils. So why are we carrying the bill to give advice to all these other councils to use? In saying that, I don't think we need to get to that stage at this stage, especially if we are making decisions. If you look at other decisions, if we're making decisions based that we're thinking it's going to happen in April, we're not going to have time anyway. If we're going to get advice, it's going to take probably 6 to 8 weeks. In saying that, though, and that's why I've called here for seeking some advice, not of a legal advice at this stage. My understanding, anyway, from experience is any state environmental planning policy, and I think our director of planning now, overrides any council LEP or DCP. That's why it's a state policy. So to get advice to tell you that means we have to take funding out from another. I'm not saying it's not important enough, but I don't believe it's going to change at this stage. Let's work through a process. We've been in a process since December. The process seems to be getting us or resulting in positive responses. We're at a stage where the government is now and the minister is now listening and open and responsive to our ideas and our feedback. From what I understand, and I might just flick over to the GM or to Ryan, I recall from that meeting we raised the issue of heritage and overriding of heritage principles. This is why I haven't yet jumped straight into my mural minute in. I'm saying let's investigate options, because if the initial thought was that it was going to override heritage, going through that process is not going to matter anymore. So it was trying to convince the minister and the staff that it shouldn't override those principles. And I believe now that, Ryan, do you want to add, or sorry, to Tommaso, I think it might not, or it might, I can't remember. Did we get any response on that?
Ryan, it was certainly a point I was seeking clarification on, and it was one of the items that was contained in our submission, and that's one point I'll continue to press on. But Ryan,
No, they have not provided any detailed clarification on the application of heritage controls. They have mentioned heritage items and the LEP provisions, but the initial advice was that the heritage conservation under the SEP may not apply, but we haven't seen any detailed copies of provisions, and we haven't received any information as to where the department's going with the control SEP.
Okay. So, just speaking to that part, if you have a SEP that's going to override heritage processes, I mean, we might as well take the road of trying to convince them otherwise. So I think that's the road we're on, and I think that's the one I think we've got most chance of winning. Councillor
Hutton. Yes, can I just ask, arising from the meeting with the minister, can I just ask, Mr. Mayor, arising from the meeting with the minister, you've alluded to some discussion about possible extensions beyond April prior to full implementation of the SEP. Did the minister give any indication of how long these extensions would be for and what conditions would be required to have an extension granted by council?
I believe we are in a good position to get an extension. We will wait to seek that confirmation from either the minister or the department, I think within the next week or two. An extension, I believe, could be somewhere probably 9 months plus. Conditions is what we've been speaking about, Councillor Hull, which has been open and transparent. It's about where else could we provide housing, urban growth outside of Croydon, where we don't have to destroy the suburb or the conservation areas. So the government, in speaking to that, the government's, there's two options council can do. One is we can say we're going to fight the government, take this on, run a big political campaign, which is, I guess it's, some would say it's, you know, you then have political motives, and we will lose the fight, which other councils are going to lose. That's been confirmed to us. So there's councils that are sticking their head in the sand that the SEP's going to come in and override all their principles, and it'll just be a fait accompli. Or there's the approach where we're trying to convince government that there's a better way. And I think that's our best shot if we're fair dinkum about protecting the character of Croydon. That's our best shot. Take the politics out of it, try to show them that we're willing to work with them to address the housing crisis, but we need to do it in a balanced way which doesn't destroy Croydon or its heritage areas. And when you can then show the minister, and I've invited him out here actually to come for a walk with me, when you can then, and I was with the Premier out in Burwood Park on Sunday, so he's had a bit of a walk around. So when you can actually walk with them and show them that Burwood's not just made up of Croydon or Enfield, and it's made up of suburbs and character homes as well as the diverse housing in the town centre, and you can achieve that, they seem to understand it better and support that. So I think that's a better approach. Look, I might be wrong. I mean, I think you'll find in April, I mean, from what I understand, in April there will be councils that will lose the fight and the battle because they've taken a different approach. Now, I haven't heard that in feedback from my residents, so, and from residents in Croydon and elsewhere when I've spoken to them about this approach, and I've had, whether it's been in forums or group discussions or at my street stalls, many of the residents have been supportive of that approach. So unless I'm reading it wrong, I haven't been contacted by any other resident saying, no, don't do anything, and roll the dice. Any other questions? So there being no other questions, I think we can move on. Are we happy to move on? I've put the mayoral minute there. I think I've spoken enough on the issue. I think this is a really important issue. And you know, as I mentioned in response to Councillor Kutcher's question, when Todd was first announced, it was a kick in the guts for us as a community, considering we'd taken the decision and the vision of a strategic policy to have density in the Bell Town Centre. And Bell's, you know, a great community. It's very diverse. We're the fifth most diverse community in the country. We have, if you look at our youth report for those speakers that came and spoke in support of the housing, I believe our community is being doing, it's probably been at the forefront of providing housing and housing renewal in and around the town centre. And while I appreciate the opportunity for young people to get into housing, I'm a father of four young adults or four young kids now. And I understand that. And I want them to live around our family. I mean, I was born in Croydon. My wife was born in Croydon. My four kids were born in Croydon. So I would love for them to be able to live around us and in this great community. But we are doing our bit. I think it's important that if we are going to highlight the need for councils to work on providing housing and housing densities, it being those councils that are providing no housing or urban renewal. I don't believe providing what will be unattractive square, six-storey, 3-to-1 developments in Croydon is the answer. I don't believe that's the answer to the housing crisis. I believe we can do better. I don't even understand how 3-to-1 floor space fits in six stories. It just doesn't fit. All it means is you'll have really short, dense buildings and apartments that won't get proper amenity into those dwellings, won't get proper solar access, and won't get proper privacy. We struggle to get 3-to-1 housing density in 10 stories in the Bell Town Centre. So I don't know how it's going to fit in six. So it's not a good planning outcome. And I believe it's been a knee-jerk reaction. Council has been now focusing on design excellence and really pushing on getting better design and amenity and privacy outcomes for the people living in those apartments. I've said this on a number of occasions that back during settlement and when Bell was being settled, we were 150 years this year, we were creating horizontal streets. It's what you see now with the character homes. Now we've actually got vertical communities in the town centre. And one of the problems with those vertical communities is councils don't have enough power to enforce good amenity outcomes, good design outcomes for those developments. And if you go overseas or even interstate, recently the directors and myself were on a tour at Brisbane City Council in Queensland, where we saw some of the great design outcomes they're getting in their city. And Sydney's not really kept up to that level. So our focus should be on design outcomes and amenity outcome for those residents. But we don't need to destroy the suburb of Croydon to achieve or to address the housing crisis. And at the same time, Burwood alone and the Burwood community alone shouldn't have to support the whole housing crisis on its own. And I'm not saying the government's doing that, but other councils, especially those in the upper north area, upper north shore area, and in the east, need to pull their weight. So I would, my advice to those young men that came and addressed the council here, I would be addressing some of those councils. Any other speakers, council? There being no other speakers, sorry, Councillor Kutcher.
Love to speak on your mayoral minute. I guess I'm I'm happy to speak in support of the mayoral minute. I wanted to be very clear, though, that, you know, we need to support an increase in density. We need to support, higher numbers of dwellings in our area. And we do that. We've talked about that at length this evening. Obviously, there's, you know, opportunities around the metro. There are opportunities around heavy rail. So the idea of a transport-oriented development is one that we should, in theory, support. There's really important social and environmental reasons why, we should be, intensifying and densifying our urban centres. But we need to do that in a really careful and planned way. And we need to do that with our communities. We don't need to do that in a way that that polarizes our communities, and I think that's what the Todd SEP has done. I think it's really important to just touch on the affordability question here, though, as well. So the idea of affordable housing has a definition in common law, the Harvester case, which many trade unionists would be well aware of, touched on the idea of how much of a workingman's wage it would take to support a family while paying paying for housing. There's a definition in planning law. We've started to see a bit of a drift away from the common law definition in the planning law definition. We've started to see more product-based approach to this question of housing affordability. And that's where we get to this kind of current idea that, and I think the gentleman spoke about, chopping up a family home that's worth at the moment $2.5 million and putting a couple of $750,000 units on it. That is not affordable housing. That is making housing marginally cheaper in the long run, but it's also changing the shape of your community, the nature of your community, and it's preventing opportunities for the people who buy into those dwellings to then grow to build their own families within those places. Because if you get rid of all the 2-3-4 bedroom places, then all of a sudden, you're in a bit of a pickle 10-15 years down the track when these people want to have start their own families. I think it's really important that we acknowledge that. One of the speakers mentioned, again, the Auckland experience, where they had an increase in 26,000 dwellings, and they saw, and we really need to be careful and watch these words here, they saw that rents were 14 to 34% lower than they otherwise would have been if that increase in housing hadn't happened. What that means is that the rents didn't go up quite as quickly as they might have if they weren't had those extra 26,000 dwellings. Now, if you take those 26,000 dwellings in an Auckland context and you put them into a Sydney context, you're looking at 100,000. So if we're talking about a policy that that seeks to introduce 100,000 dwellings across the Sydney Basin in order to make rents not go up as fast as they otherwise would have, we're not talking about affordability. We are not talking about affordability. Let's be clear on that. Let's be clear on that. Basically, what we've got here with the Todd SEP is lazy policy from a government that refuses to do the hard work of unwinding the structural inequity that's been baked into our housing system over three generations. It's time to get on with the hard work of dealing with that issue and dealing with it properly. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Kutcher.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I just make a couple of points? The first is in terms of the mayoral minutes calling for the confirmation of the legal framework. I mean, I appreciate the points you make about SSR ROC being the body that it is. But in my opinion, and I'll say more about this when I speak on my motion, the only way in which we can confirm the legal framework under which the minister is purporting to override council's planning frameworks and heritage controls is to obtain our own independent legal advice. That is simply the only way we can confirm that with any certainty, in my opinion, and by obtaining our own legal advice to that effect. Secondly, in terms of the heritage override, it is a fact that the minister has confirmed publicly that with this one size fits all approach, you know, it will apply to both heritage conservation areas as well as heritage listings. And he made that admission in budget estimates. So that is of great concern. And we would want to see change in that approach, but it is of concern and we need legal advice for that. I appreciate the emphasis in the Merrill Minute of, you know, a more cooperative approach. I suppose that's only to be expected, particularly, you know, when the, with all the greatest of respect, you are of the same political party as the minister. So you would want a cooperative approach, I hope, but you would want a more rigorous critical approach. I mean, this whole process wasn't born of cooperation, was born of dictating really to councils and residents what's going to happen once this thing is gazetted in April. And it appears there is no turn back from that once that process is implemented. So that they're my comments, but I mean, I've no issue with the Merrill Minute in generality. I'm happy to support it, but there are a lot of issues which I think can only be addressed in my motion, which I'll be speaking to in due course.
Any other speakers before I give my right of reply and put them out? Just to address a number of the issues that have been raised in my right of reply, Councillor Kutcher, I totally agree. I think a lot more work needs to be done with regards to housing affordability. So supply is one component of that. It's not the only component. I strongly believe that. Two, with regards to my political affiliation, can I just say my over my experience as mayor and councillor, I've actually had great relationships with all levels and all parties. Predominantly, I had a great relationship with the previous Liberal government. Bill Wood was able to, through my sit down with the Treasurer at the time, Matt Keane, secure close to $100 million in West Invest funding, which is the highest per capita in Sydney Council. My political persuasion has, or political party or affiliation or whatever you want to call it, has probably stunned the government more so in this instance because I've spoken out about it. I don't care what colour the government is. My role is to protect the interests of my community and I'll continue to do that, whether it's a Labor, Liberal, Greens or independent government. I couldn't care. And I'll deal with any government. I think my political affiliations probably helped to open doors quicker to get a response on this issue. And getting three meetings with the minister within a timeframe of 3 months over Christmas, I think shows to that. So I've been open and direct and honest with him. And as I've mentioned, I think our first meeting at which the GM was at and the state member, I was pretty stern in addressing the concerns of the community to him. So I won't take a backward step from that. And if the government decides to proceed with this matter, then I will be going to the next step and running a political campaign on it. And I don't think you can get a better outcome than having a Labor mayor running against the Labor government policy. So there you go. So that's not my intentions. He isn't running. It's getting a proper outcome for the community. In relation to, you know, the issue of heritage, my question is really, I'll put this back. If you're saying and suggesting that the government and the minister has confirmed the SEP will override, and I can tell you, state environmental planning policies, you can go and you don't need to pay a minimum of whatever X dollars to get that advice. They override any government policy. We know current state environmental planning policies override current LEPs and DCPs. We continually have reports come to council which are updated to reflect the SEP because we can't be in contradiction to that. If that's the case and it's going to override heritage, why are we then going to fall in a knee-jerk reaction and go and list every home in Croydon when it's going to get overridden. Makes no sense. Makes no sense at this stage. So it's not going to work. The best outcome, which is going to cost millions, probably $1 million in going through the whole process, and heritage is going to take close to a year, maybe 18 months. You're then going to tie up the planning staff in doing that. It could cost council in excess of $2 million. Now, putting aside the financial figure, you're not, you've just gone through a whole process which makes no sense, which is not going to affect the outcome. You're better off having our department staff and our finances being directed towards working with government to get a balanced and right outcome and convincing them of that. And that's how you get the win for the community. So that's why I'm not going to have a knee-jerk reaction and just run off and want to, you know, play the political game and do, you know, saying, oh, I mean, it's quite easy for me as a mayor to go out and run a great campaign leading up to September now and saying I'm going to do A, B, C and D. It's not going to get the outcome the residents want. And then stick my hands up and say, oh, sorry, it was the state government. It's not what I want to do. I want to make sure we win for Croydon and we get a win for our community because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And that's why I've put this Merrill Minute forward. I'll put the minute, all those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors, for that debate. I'll move forward to Merrill Minute 1/24, proposed local government association boundary adjustment. Oh, sorry, local government area boundary adjustment. I'm not going to read the whole minute, but I will put forward that council confirms it has no in principle objections to the proposed adjustment to the local government area boundary between Burwood and Inner West as shown in attachment A of this report. Two, that the mayor of Burwood write to the mayor of Inner West seeking cooperation on this matter. Three, that the general manager formally consult and seek feedback from Inner West Council and the impacted property owners on the proposed adjustment to the local government area boundary as shown in attachment A of this report. And four, following consultation with Inner West and the impacted property owners, a report be brought back to council outlining options and details of next steps in the legal process under the New South Wales Local Government Act to progress proposed adjustment to the local government area boundary as shown in attachment A of this report with the New South Wales Office of Local Government. Just quickly to address this issue, it only affects four properties that are not currently owned by the school. If you look at the map on page six, it's quite odd. And this issue has been spoken about for a number of years now. And I have reached out to the mayor of Inner West. So I'm hoping to have a sit down with him and meet to discuss this. It's just really a practical solution for a great school that's in our local area in Croydon to ensure that it could be able to operate and operate for the future of its students and be a part of the community, one of the players in our community. Currently, I'll give you an example how it affects the current boundary runs through their aquatic centre and Inner West deals with planning about its pool, Burwood Council deals with planning about the change rooms. So it's these are 150-year-old boundaries. So, you know, communities change over time and obviously now we need to reflect that. So hopefully we can get agreement from Inner West Council. Any questions on this issue? Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one, in any sit down with Inner West Council, can you address the issue raised this evening by Burwood Historical Society looking at the sharing of information for any potential heritage items?
Noted.
Thank you.
Councillor Holt, did you have a question?
Is there any, has there been any indication from the Inner West Council as to their attitude towards this and whether they're sympathetic to moving the boundary in the way that's suggested by the minute?
No. Yes. I think I've spoken enough tonight, so no, we haven't. This will start the process, Councillor. Any other questions? Put the minute, all those in favour, those against. Councillor Robinson, I need to just see you. Councillor Councillor Robertson, can you indicate in the chat whether you're voting yes or no? I can't see. Can you see him chatting? So all those in favour? Those against? We just have to have Councillor Robinson as abstaining. Next item is the 14/24, which is the draft youth action plan. Do I have a mover? It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Declare that carried. Councillor Robinson, until I see him, will be abstained. Next item is 20/24, which is the investment report as at the 31st of January 2024. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 15/24, National General Assembly of Local Government, page 61, moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Espar. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. 17/24, which is the amended council meeting schedule, moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Espar. It's just an amendment. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Pop-up market offering 18/24, moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Hull. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those, those against, in favour, against, put, declare it carried unanimously, with Councillor Robinson back on. Item 16/24, which is the answers to questions without notice, which I believe is just an info item.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make a quick comment on that? The question referred to item 16 of 22 was a typo, should have been 16 of 21. I don't believe that that's been to the detriment of the information provided, and I thank staff for providing that information, but I just wonder if that could be updated in the minutes.
Thank you, Councillor. And Bill with local traffic, so there's no decision on that. It's just a we receive a note to report. So it's been moved by Councillor Kutcher with that change amendment. It's been seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. RC2/24, which is the Build Local Traffic Committee. It's been moved by Councillor. Did you move that, Councillor Kutcher? RC2/24, been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Notices of motion. 1/24, sharing our streets with students who walk, ride and scoot to school. Now, Councillor Kutcher, you're moving. Do I have a seconder? It's been moved by seconder Manner, so we can move into discussion.
Okay, so I'll move the council acknowledges the mental, physical, social and environmental. Do I need to read the whole thing or it's...
I'll just read the actual...
The recommendations. Acknowledges the mental, physical, social, environmental benefit of having more students walk, ride and scoot to school. Notes that the New South Wales government's active transport to school program, offering an additional $10 million to councils to fund active travel to school projects. 3, requires the general manager to A, complete the draft active transport plan, including recommendations to seek and apply for funding under the active transport to school program, to be presented to council for public exhibition in May 2024. And bring the plan and recommendations back to council for endorsement as soon as practicable after exhibition. I think it's pretty straightforward and self-explanatory. Government's put money on the table. We've got some work that could benefit from some of that money. Let's get hold of some of it and get on with the job of making our streets safer for kids to walk, ride and take their scooters and skateboards to school.
Thanks, Councillor Kutcher. Councillor Manner?
No, well said. I concur with Councillor Kutcher's remarks and support his motion.
Do I have any other speakers? Councillor Crichton.
Just quickly, could I just commend Councillor Kutcher on his notice of motion? I think it's really important. The benefits for children walking to school are enormous. It provides obviously independence and improves health and self-confidence. And I think these are all really good ideals to uphold. So congratulations. And I also think that $10 million, I would love it to be more money, divided by 129 councils across New South Wales equates to, I think it's $77,000, but let's try and chase down every dollar we can to make Burwood more walkable and livable, particularly for our young people. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kutcher, right of reply?
No.
Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. It's now going into item 2/24, which I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor to chair.
Gordon Precinct. Do I have a mover?
I so move, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder? Yes, we have a seconder. That's just confirming. He's frozen. Yeah. Yes, Councillor Robinson seconded. You have an amendment, Councillor Esper?
Yes, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to the motion.
What's that?
One, that Council confirms its objection to the Croydon Transport Orientated SEP, and two, that Council continue with its current advocacy policy as outlined in the mayoral minute adopted by Council.
Councillor, do I have a seconder? Councillor Crichton, yes, seconded.
Thank you, I support that. Thank you.
You'd like to speak for the motion, the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Since the TOD program was announced by state government on the 7th of December, Council has taken quite a number of steps, as mentioned earlier in the mayoral minute. On the 12th of December, there was a notice of motion in which Council voiced its concern and disappointment over the proposal, which was voted on unanimously by Council. It was moved by yourself, Mr. Deputy Mayor Manner, and seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Since we've moved this motion, we've had ongoing consultation with the community, with the state government, with council and the state member who's been very supportive of residents. On the 19th of December, a meeting was held with the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces, which allowed for a direct opportunity to engage with the department regarding our concerns and questions. On the 21st of December, a letter was sent to the Premier of New South Wales. On the 22nd of December, a letter was sent to the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces, as well as Council's online petition being launched online on Participate Burwood. On the 31st of January, Council submitted its interim submission to the Department of Planning and Housing and Infrastructure. On the 8th of February, there was a meeting with the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces. On the 13th of February, there was a report to Council on the TODSEP and the interim submission. On the 22nd of February, the Department of Planning, Housing and Infrastructure briefed councillors. And on the 1st of March, council staff also met with the department representatives, and they continue to liaise with all the liaise with the department on all available levels. I also believe the mayor's mayoral minute sufficiently addresses the concern for seeking legal clarification regarding the TODSEP in points B and C of the mayoral minute. The mayoral minute also addresses investigating the options best available to council and our residents in enhancing protection of conservation areas like the Malvern Hill Estate, engage interest in possible detailed heritage studies for increased measures, which is addressed in point D of the mayoral minute. We can see the advocacy and dialogue has been there from day one, and we can see the hard work and efforts undertaken by council to achieve the best possible outcome for our community.
Thank you, Councillor. Open for discussion. Any other speakers?
Yes, look.
Speak on the amendment, Councillor, please.
Certainly, yes. Well, Mr. Deputy Mayor, I mean, I've no objection in principle to what Councillor Scully is saying. However, I don't agree for it to replace my motion, which I wish to speak on, but you know, I don't have any objection. I mean, ideally, I would be happy to have those amended motions added to the wording of my motion, as points 6 and 7, for example. I would have no problem with that. But I do want to address the points that I've made in my motion, which I can do so now by way of speaking on the amendment.
Councillor, as I said, we can only speak on the amendment, so we will come back. If are you prepared to accept any of the amendments that... Okay, the amendment, yeah, fair enough. That's fine, Councillor, it's okay. Okay, any other speakers on the amendment?
Yes, please, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I speak against the amendment. Look, I don't agree with all of the proposals that Councillor Hull has put in his notice of motion, but I do believe they warrant this discussion, and so I don't support the amendment.
Okay, any other speakers for the amendment? Okay, councillors, I'd like to put the amendment up. Those for the amendment, raise a show of hands. All against the amendment? So Councillor Kutcher and Councillor Hull, Robertson too? Councillor Robertson. Okay, so it's a tie for the amendment. I'll use my casting vote, and that makes it 4-3. So I'll move with the amended motion. So I'll put now the new motion. Do you want to speak, Councillor Esper, for the new motion?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'd just like to reiterate the hard work and advocacy undertaken by the council and express that we continue with this approach to work with the government and our residents to achieve the best possible outcome for our community. Thank you.
You're right to reply, Councillor.
Thank you. I just support the amendment, and I thank Councillor Esper for all of her work in putting that together tonight. Thank you.
Councillors, any other discussion? On the new motion. On the new motion, yeah.
Right. Well. I'll just address the advocacy point that Councillor Pascali is making. I suppose I'm speaking, you know, in favour, but also against, in a sense. I mean, I think advocacy does extend to exploring all of our options in respect of this SEPTOD, which in my opinion requires independent legal advice to be sought by the council. I mean, this particular SEPTOD is one in which there's been absolutely no consultation, no formal or meaningful consultation, either with the council or with the community and affected residents. I mean, we don't even have the final wording of this instrument as we sit here tonight talking about it. The minister has not disclosed this. We don't know, for example, whether it's going to be 6 stories, whether it's going to be 10 stories, whether it's going to be 20 stories. We just don't know. So there's been no transparency either on the part of the minister. This is a huge problem and a great concern to residents. It denies procedural fairness to residents because there's been no formal consultation. It denies procedural fairness to the council because there's been a number of processes that have been overridden by this particular Todd Sepp. For example, you know, the opportunity for feasibility testing, traffic assessments, design controls, consideration of the impact on community facilities and open spaces, as well as, you know, roads and setbacks. I mean, these are normal processes which this Todd Sepp is overriding in order to, you know, address whether the minister has the power to do this. I would be urging, in alignment really with council's advocacy, you know, against this, that we obtain independent legal advice as a matter of urgency. So I would, you know, want that included in this amended motion. Secondly, council has no option but to explore this and to, if necessary, if the legal advice were to suggest legal proceedings of some description to compel the minister to act fairly and reasonably and with procedural fairness, then that's the course that the council should adopt. In respect of other issues...
Councillor, I need you to speak to the amended motion.
That's what I would say, and if the motion, amended motion, does not address these issues, then it should be voted down. As I said previously, I'm happy for the amended motion to be added to my motion.
Thank you, Councillor. For the amendment motion.
Thank you.
Councillor Kutcher.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Happy to support the amended motion. I think it's disappointing that we don't get to debate the motion in full. I think it's worth just touching on, I think Councillor Hull has made an important point around the question of legal advice. And I note that in the discussion earlier, the Mayor raising the question of whether or not we needed advice to know whether a SEP would overwrite local planning controls. And yes, we know that. That's not the advice we need. The advice we need is whether or not the SEP complies, is an allowable instrument, that it meets the objectives of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. I think that's a clear point that's been made by Councillor Hull. I think it's disappointing that we haven't been able to, debate that motion in more detail. And I would ask that reaffirming, the motion, the mayoral minute that was made earlier, that those questions be put to SSROC and LGNSW as part of the request for advice. And so I would just ask, that be taken on board and that could be acted on in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kutcher. Any other speakers for the amendment motion? I just want to add, Robertson, did you want to say anything? Okay. I just want to add that, just to reiterate what the motion is, the amended motion, that council confirms its objection to the Croydon Transport Orientated SEP. Okay. Two, council continue with its current advocacy policy as outlined in the mayoral minute adopted by council, which the mayor spoke in quite a fair bit, and there was questions raised by us councillors to the mayor. Now, I'm satisfied that the work that has been done and to continue to be done by our mayor and council with our support and community will get the best outcome. So in saying that, I will support the amended motion. Thank you. I'll put the motion for voting. Those for the motion? Okay, Councillor Robertson, is he still there? Okay, so for the motion is Councillor Crichton, Councillor Espar, Councillor Kutcher, Councillor Manor. I don't know if Councillor Robertson, he seems to have gone off air. Those against the motion? Councillor Hull.
Robinson has abstained.
Abstained, yep. Okay, no worries. Okay, thank you, councillors. That brings us close to that item. So, ladies and gentlemen, next session is closed session, so we need to vacate the gallery. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I need a motion to go into closed session. Do I move it? Councillor Kutcher, seconded Councillor Espar. Those for it? Okay, we're going to closed session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In relation to item 19/24, I confirm that Council endorsed the engagement of DSS Facilities Proprietary Limited to provide cleaning services for Council's park amenities, and particularly confirmed the approval of option one as listed in the text of the report.
That's it. Okay, so the meeting closed. No further business. Meeting closed at 7:45 p.m. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you.